This is episode 520 on the Hidden Wire podcast with Joshua Spoda.
Segment. I am passionate about creating a lifestyle that minimizes suffering and regret. The purpose of life is not simply to survive, but to thrive, and I believe we do that by creating a life with greater freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Each week, I will be delivering a 30-minute conversation with a guest expert on a topic that they are knowledgeable and passionate about, with the purpose to inspire and educate us all. I don't have all the answers. I'm simply trying to figure life out. And through greater awareness and understanding, I can put into practice what I learn to further my life's progression. I can't give you your life's map. I can't show you the way, but I can assist you in discovering your why. I can help you define your life's compass to guide you purposefully to act on and pursue your life's desires. And from there, watch happiness ensue. My guests are the experts. They are the people I learn from. They provide the inspiration, education, and methodology that we can all benefit from in better navigating the ultimate life. Without further ado, let the show begin. Today's featured guest is Joshua Spodek. The topic is environment. Joshua Spodek is the best-selling author of Leadership Step by Step. He is an adjunct professor at New York University, leadership coach, and workshop leader for Columbia Business School. He's also a columnist for Inc. magazine and the founder of SpodekAcademy.com. He knows a heck of a lot on the topic of leadership, but he's very passionate at the moment about leading behavioral change towards the environment. Among other things, he's visited North Korea twice, he swam across the Hudson River, and he has done burpees every day for 6 years, 100,000 in counting. Check it out, The Environment with Joshua Spodek. Enjoy. G'day Josh, welcome to The Hidden Why. Welcome back, I should say.
Thank you, great to be here. I always enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, we've had some great conversations in the past, and that's why I wanted to invite you back on the show to share some more inspiration and perhaps education to the audience here. And today's topic is all about leadership. So my first question I want to ask you, Josh, is what is leadership and what does it mean to you?
So there's a lot of ways that people can define it. The working definition that I use is to influence at least one other person to achieve a goal that the leader has in mind. So there has to be another person. There's a sense of personal leadership that's just yourself. And that's an essential element of leadership. But I think really you have to involve another person for what I call leadership. And there should be a goal. If it's just random behavior, I don't think that does it. And so there's two key pieces to me of this. It's social and it's emotional. It involves other people and involves motivation and behavior. So that's like the realm of it for me.
Well said. Yeah. So it definitely explains it. And certainly as far as self-leadership, I talk a lot about that at The Hidden Why, and I blog about it often enough as well, but certainly leadership of others. So it requires that social aspect, one or more people, and requires some deliberate or purposeful goal.
Yes.
That makes sense. Okay, and what does it mean to you? Why is this something that you're passionate about in life?
There's a lot of answers to that, and I think the big one is that most of my life, the underlying social and emotional skills of leadership and the consequences of having them weren't really important to me. I saw life as logical, and my way of getting ahead in life was to learn the rules better and to succeed better at the rules. Now, these rules were unspoken there's not just some tangible thing. The way I look at it now, to try to learn the rules better and to succeed better through that method is what I would call the rat race. Hmm. And I was getting a PhD in physics and starting my own company, but the beliefs I had were keeping me in that rat race. And I would never have described it that way, but looking back, what I was lacking was what I consider the core parts of leadership are to have the social and emotional skills. That means emotional skills mean how to regulate and know like how you feel and to feel how you want to feel. And that's your emotional state. And that's to me where value and meaning come from, is the emotions that things bring to you. And so I have more value in my life. I have more meaning and purpose. Mm. And then the social element of it is my relationships with others. So most of my life, all this paying attention to the rules and like the stuff that you learn that school teaches you when it teaches compliance, that was just, even if I succeeded perfectly, it would just make me rich, I guess, rich and maybe powerful. But by not knowing about it, I didn't know about how to build relationships with people and how to choose to do the things that I found valuable and meaningful in my life. Mm. And now my emotional state and my relationships are the most important things in my life. And that's what my business is based on. That's what my life is based on. And that was all, I was blind to that stuff before. I was just like, reason and rationality, that all made sense. It's systemic. I can make sense of it.
Yep.
And I thought that emotions and that they must be therefore irrational and didn't make sense. And so I was like, well, why bother worrying about that?
But interesting.
When I found that I developed those skills, everything improved.
And I think that's why it's a common path to sort of fall into, is because, you know, it's logical. It makes sense to a lot of people, whereas the emotional stuff, that doesn't often make sense, and it's quite a bit more challenging to pursue those paths. But certainly, yeah, it comes with, you know, a greater sense of meaning when you align yourself with those core values, I suppose you could call it.
Yeah, and I found that it's teaching rational things is easier, and there's a model for education that is the professor knows, the students don't. So the professor says information to the students and the students learn the information. But that, if you look at the emotions and the social skill, the emotional and social skills that teaches, it's compliance, which is virtually the opposite of leadership. And it's the opposite of, if you want to learn emotional and social skills, you have to go through, I believe that you have to take on social and emotional challenges schools protect you from. And so the style of education that I went through was not designed to help you become a leader. And I think that's why so many people who become leaders drop out of school or leave.
Who is leadership? What is the skill of leadership? Who is it for? Who is it targeted for? Is it for everyone?
Well, I guess there are people out there who don't want to face challenges in life and prefer just to have everything laid out for them. And I don't, that's their business. If that's what they value, I have no problem with that. And, you know, I worked at a friend's company that was acquired by a Fortune 100 company. And after the acquisition, I went to the headquarters, not the headquarters, but, you know, a big office for this place. And I walked into this one room and it was like out of a movie. It was just all these people sitting in front of their computers, just bent over and just no life. And all I can say is that I hope they were all middle-aged. And so I just hope that they were working for their children, that there was something of value on the other side of this. But I was like, I could never work in an environment like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And now on the flip side, they didn't have to worry about where the paycheck was coming. They had great benefits and stuff like that. And maybe that's better for some people. But for me, if I like having an effect on the world that people value, that people like, and that's bigger and more than what I can achieve by myself. And that means teamwork. And I know that there's many people, I think the majority of people share the values that I have, like the big things I'm working on now, for example, education and clean air and water and the environment. And everyone wants, for me, one of the big things about environmental change, like working on the environment, is that I've changed my diet and it's become, so many people think it's like, they expect it to be a problem, but for me, it's been more delicious. And I don't know anyone who doesn't want more delicious.
I can almost agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so that's come through ultimately through compassion, through, you know, I want to leave the world a better place than I found it. And that involves teamwork.
Okay. Did that leadership come from that, from, you know, you just want to personally lead your life, you know, and progress in your own ways as it matters to, you know, creating a life of greater meaning? Or did it come from compassion to lead others to do that, and then that grew your own, you know, progression and leadership? Or did they sort of work both directions?
I wish I could say there was as much planning as it sounds like you think there might have been. It was really more that I guess my first taste of what I would have called leadership at the time, but was much more management and relying on authority, was when I started my first company, and we did really well for a while. But then in the recession and post 9/11, when doing business was extraordinarily difficult, and I got squeezed out of the company, I thought I had power when I didn't. And I realized that, I went back to business school at that point and took classes in leadership.
Yep.
And that opened the door for me to see the potential. Although at the time, when I tried to put this stuff into practice, I still had learned through this compliance method of, you know, analysis and reading and videos and case study and lecture. And there was some interactive stuff, but the big passion that hit me was after I started putting this stuff into practice and learning it and seeing the effects of improving relationships and teamwork and intimacy. And I say intimacy both at work, but also in my personal life and relationships with everyone improving. Then I was swept up with the passion of one, developing these skills more and implementing them in my life so that my life could get all these improvements that I started to sense on a small scale. You know, when you have something good on a small scale, you want it on a big scale.
Yep.
And the next thing was realizing that it wasn't being taught that effectively. Definitely better than nothing. I value what I got, but I mean, the whole thing driving my book and my courses and the courses that I teach is that I think that teaching things experientially, project-based, is much more effective. I mean, it's not just teaching people leadership information. What I call, like, if you, a nice analogy I think that works pretty well. You can teach people how to paint, how to make art, and you can also teach them art appreciation. But if you teach them art appreciation, they'll learn to recognize good art, but not to make it themselves. And I think what we've been teaching is leadership appreciation, teaching about leadership, but not how to lead. Mm. And so you can teach someone piano theory, and that doesn't mean that they're going to be able to play the piano.
Yeah.
And it's weird to live in a world. Imagine you lived in a world in which you knew about playing piano scales, and everyone else in the world, almost everyone, not everyone, but most people in the world taught piano by teaching theory in a classroom at a chalkboard. And you're like, what's going on? You'd be overwhelmed with motivation to teach more people scales so that they could enjoy playing the piano, not just listening to others.
Yeah. And that's where the real progress that comes from it, I guess. And that's the real value behind leadership. Is that what I'm sensing?
Yeah. Cause once you start doing it, then what happens, you start developing the skills of empathy and compassion and the skills of how to create meaning and value for others and how to accept it in yourself. And it's not telling people what to do. It's finding out what they care about and sharing with what you care about so that your teamwork can form. And then the types of team, like the students that emerge from my class, even before the class ends, when they're doing the projects in my class and leading people, it's a world of difference than basing your leadership on authority. Instead, you know, the equivalent of scales is I walk people through to do the behavior that works. And when it works, even though you're following like a scale, when a piano teacher tells someone to play scale, or an acting teacher says to read these lines in the script, or an athletic coach says, run this play, it sounds like you're telling them what to do, but actually you do what works and you experience the success of the play in sports or the script in acting or the score in music or in leadership. You lead people and people respond to you with, yeah, that's why I wanted to do it. Thank you for making this project meaningful for me. Thank you for getting me to work so hard. Mm. And my students are like, holy cow, I inspired someone. And at first they're following my exercises. Yeah. But after, like with all of these other, like all these that I talked about where you learn how to act, you learn how to sing, you learn how to play music, after you do it enough, repetition and rehearsal develops the skills, and then you master them. And then you don't have to follow my script. You don't have to, you know how to do it in a way that reading books and discussing case studies and listening to lectures will never get you, because that's just, it's,
yeah.
You just have to remember what someone told you, as opposed to experiencing the elation and the challenge and these things that happen when you perform.
So really leadership needs to be quite progressive. It needs to be, you know, that information piece, that theory piece, but then also how to put that into some sort of practice or action, and then, you know, mentoring through that process as well, to the point of reward or meaning, which therefore makes it more motivating for the individual to keep going and keep sustaining that practice.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean certainly throughout history, been great leaders who did not emerge from someone teaching them. They, you know, sometimes life hands you a series of challenges that just develops the skills in you that, you know, you emerge as a great leader. That's happened. But I'd much rather avoid all the, like, I don't want to, for the most important things in my life, I don't want it to be left to chance. if there's a way of covering the basics, like when I teach leadership, and when you do the exercises in my book, you emerge with a solid groundwork of the basics.
Yeah.
And that brings you to a place where, like, when you learn to play a musical instrument, you want to learn the instrument so you don't have to think about it. Then you can express yourself. And that's what happens with leadership. You want to learn the basics of conflict management and how to create meaning and purpose and how to speak with an authentic voice and all these basics that aren't you. That's leadership. And once you have the basics, you have this platform that now you can be you without having to wonder, am I doing this right? Or did I miss any steps? Like, you have a solid foundation of the basics. And now you can take on the challenges that matter to you, take on the relationships that matter to you. If that's being an entrepreneur, that's being an entrepreneur. If that's being a politician, you can be a politician. If you want to be the leader of a company, that's great. If it's being a spouse and a parent, you know, these are all applications where these skills apply.
Absolutely.
And the lack of these skills lead to just wondering what's going on, and oftentimes people revert to authority and telling people what to do, which leads to people to pushing back and resisting. I don't like that.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I see one of the problems that we face at the moment is just information overload. And, you know, as far as education and online education, I suppose more so, there's this sense of disconnect between the teacher and the student, and a lacking of leadership, really, where people are just getting sold into these courses, programs. And I feel there's that disconnect just makes it go nowhere, and it doesn't really do the job of what was intended, and whether that's intentionally done or not. Is that something that you see as a problem as well?
Yeah, it kills me. It's funny because I'm literally in an NYU building right now, and the university is designed around subject matter, not about skills. And so there's no place quite where these courses fit. And I get nibbles a lot from a lot of universities that are like, we want to do something like what you're doing. Actually, I just found out a week or two ago that my book is being used as a textbook. And my book just came out in February, and I'm proud it hit bestseller and so forth.
Congratulations.
But thank you. And here, this is a really funny thing. This is not going to be about leadership, but I'm talking to this guy who found me, and he's saying, we're a program in this big university. I'm not going to say which, but your leadership style is exactly what we were trying to do. And you've developed all these exercises. We'd like to work with you. And so that's over in another state, and he happened to be visiting in New York City because everyone visits New York. We had coffee together, and he goes, by the way, this other professor is using your book. And I was like, wow, that's great. And so I looked up the guy, and he started this program that two friends of mine did. And I had to check with them, is this like the same program? And they're like, yeah. And the funny thing is that these two friends of mine I met them on my trip to North Korea. And so it's just anytime you meet someone through North Korea, it's an interesting thing.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. And so people are catching on to that this is a different way of teaching, and more importantly, more effective. Most professors, especially at the top schools, they got there because publish or perish. They published a lot. You know, most great leaders aren't great leaders because they published a lot of academic papers. And that's the skills that these professors learned were that. And historically, it made sense that that's what they would do. Like, oh, there's a subject to teach. No, why don't we get our professors to teach it? But usually you want people if you want to teach skills, you want people who have mastered those skills.
Yeah, had practice with it and know what they're talking about, and real life experience.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. So the question I have, I mean, there's a first connection here between sort of your values and passion, or your why, if I can refer to the title of the show, as it relates to leadership and being able to lead, because that really is connection with that emotion piece that you're talking about. And then there's obviously skill as it relates to, you know, being able to connect with people. And that social component of leadership. But can you share with the audience perhaps some techniques or practical tips on how we can develop leadership? I mean, there's probably one topic of, you know, really developing a sense of meaning and what you're compassionate about, what you're passionate about, so you can really lead effectively, because I think that's really critical. But for today, for the purpose of this show, what techniques can we use, or can you share to help us better our leadership skills?
Well, I'm going to give you one high-level perspective that leads to a lot of behavioral strategies. And that is, if you see someone who has leadership skills that you wish that you had, I recommend starting with the assumption that they didn't have them, they weren't born with them, they developed them, like, and the way to develop skills is through practice. Yeah. And so when I see, like, if you see someone and they can play a sport better than you, you figure they probably ran a bunch of drills and they probably did a lot of exercises. And if I did those drills and exercises, I would get good too. Well, same thing with leadership. If you see a leader and they have more charisma than you, or they have more, they engender more loyalty than you, or they can engage people, or they speak more authentically than you, then I put to you that they learned that somehow. And you, if they did, you can too. They're not superhuman, nor, well, you probably aren't either. And so if you find out what behaviors will lead you to develop those skills, and you do those behaviors, you will develop those skills. One way to find out is you can simply ask the person, if you have access to them, hey, you seem to speak very authentically. How did you learn to speak so authentically? Can I do that too? Hmm. They might, you know, they might not, you might have to persist a little bit to help them figure out how they did it if it wasn't like a concerted effort. But I bet you'd be surprised to find a lot of them, they probably put a concerted effort into it, and they can probably tell you exactly what they did. Like, I got a friend who's very charismatic, and he explicitly tells me it's like paying attention to the other person first, putting them before yourself, and all these other things. And I learned so much from people like that. And so if you believe leaders are born, not made, you're stuck. And my experience has been the opposite, that leaders, you can learn to lead. Any leadership skill that someone has, you can develop in yourself as well.
Correct.
And I think it's just it just changes the game. And then it's what things do I have to practice in order to develop those skills?
Do you think we could fall in a trap there potentially of looking at people that we admire, but necessarily aren't really aligned with something that we want to lead in? And I guess, you know, rock stars, we all look at rock stars and go, geez, I'd love to be a rock star. They're leaders of the game or whatever it might be. Or, you know, it might be a motivational speaker. We look at these great motivational speakers and go, wow, I'd like to be that. But then in seeking the skills that they learnt, perhaps that doesn't really align with what we wish to do, the paths that we probably should be taking. Do you see the trap there?
Yeah, this is why when I teach, I my book starts with personal leadership and then ends with leading others.
Right.
And the reason for that is that if you don't know, okay, everyone loves leading others. Like, yeah, that's the sexy stuff. When companies hire me to come in and teach, you know, a session or two, they're like, let's do the leading other stuff because it's, you know, you get more stuff done.
Yeah.
So the way I look at it is, if you want to learn a language and you just pick a language and start learning it, you're going to learn that language. So say you learn Italian. You're going to spend a lot of time in Italy. What if you like Chinese food and you like Chinese culture? If you learn Italian, you're going to spend a lot of time in Italy, not a lot of time in China. Mm-hmm. Better to figure out first, what do you like?
Good example.
And so if you like Chinese food and Chinese culture and Chinese history and so forth, probably take Chinese.
Yeah.
And don't waste your time learning Italian. Italian's great, but if you don't like it, don't waste your time. And so if you don't know what you like and what you don't like, then you can easily learn how to be very productive and very efficient and get a lot of people following you and so forth. And you might end up going in circles or going places you don't want to go. So as sexy as the other stuff is, you start with I recommend starting with yourself.
That's a really important insight. Know where you want to go. And certainly in my journey, which is totally just trying to figure life out and very accidental, that's where it's led me to is a personal, you know, journey. It's really about personal leadership. And as I've gone down those paths and tried to figure out, you know, what I want and who I am and life, etc., I've really discovered this greater sense of meaning that has grown this passion to whereby now I really want to inspire and lead other people. And I think, that's certainly the greatest insight of this episode today. It's really about creating that personal leadership. And then from that connection to your internal values, you can then lead others really with greater effectiveness.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies where the hero puts on the blue face paint and, you know, does this speech and everyone's like, let's all go into battle. There's not a lot of ones of people doing these more personal exercises and learning about their own interests and so forth. It's not as it doesn't sell as many movie tickets, but you're not going to be able to do that going to battle without first that self-exploration. And one of the, I've done my share of meditation, yoga and things like that, but there's lots of other ways to get that insight that are more for the business person, for the person who's looking, and I mean business in a general sense of not just making profits, but, you know, leading organizations.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that's a lot more direct, and I don't want to take away from meditation, for example, but my stuff is more straightforward and more mainstream, and I think more effective. But there's nothing stopping people from doing more of the less mainstream stuff. Obviously, becoming much more mainstream.
Yeah. Look, I think there's plenty of resources out there, and you know, as you said, if there's someone out there that you really connect with, that you inspire to be yourself or be more like, and learn those skills, then connect with them. Find those resources. I mean, we're in the age of information. We've got it all at our fingertips, in my belief. So it's just about going out there. And as you said, you know, practicing, put it into practice, experimenting with things, see what works for you. And as you grow and develop, you'll certainly have that. You'll create that connection and hopefully become, you know, a greater leader in the process as well.
Yeah. You'll lead people to become your mentors and people to support you. I have like a couple things on universities, they're constantly doing things like they talk to alumni and they try to get a bunch of alumni together to be the mentor pool. And then they'll say to the students, here's like the couple dozen people or the 100 people that you can get to mentor you. And they'll have like a wine and cheese event where they can meet each other, something like that. Or sometimes they'll just give connections out. I think it's so much more, what I do with my students is I show them how to create connections with people who could mentor you, and then how to work with them so that they want to mentor you. And now you're not picking from a dozen or 100 people, you're picking from 7 billion people, and you can get the best mentors possible. Like, I'm really glad to work with like the people that I work with, like Marshall Goldsmith. He's like number one bestseller, number one everything. And like, it's not like I can just call him, calls me back anytime, but we get together when he's in New York City, and I've learned so much from him. And there's no university that can hook me up with someone like that. You have to make that happen yourself.
Yep. So, yeah, that's art in itself is connection. Mate, what's your last word of advice as far as leadership is concerned? I'll leave it to you to wrap it up.
Well, you know, I talked about that perspective of, you know, if someone else was able to do it, you can learn how to do it too. There's an essential element of action that you must act. It's so easy for people to fall back, especially if they've gone through an educational system that's always said, read, 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 think about things before acting and plan it all out. Think of every contingency before you do anything or even much. And there's such a strong behavioral component of you have to practice these things. And yes, make sure you're not making any total disasters, but much more look at what people have done and try those things out. Yeah, things aren't going to go your way a lot of times, but you got to get past that and try and be willing to make some mistakes, set your sights low, allow yourself to make mistakes at the beginning, and just know that the reason most people don't lead is because they aren't doing that, even those first couple steps.
Yeah,
the benefits are just tremendous.
Absolutely. Great words, mate, and a lot of valuable information you've shared today, so I appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you for taking the time out. I'm going to stick the links. You've got a bunch of offerings and a lot of information at your website, etc. So guys listening out there, if you'd like to connect with Josh, check out thehiddenwire.com in the show notes there. I'll have all the links to Josh, and you can connect with him and have a bit more of a read of his material. Perhaps even pick up a copy of his book and have a look at some of the courses that he does run. So Josh, anything else you'd like to say?
I mean, just thank you. I'm honored and flattered to be here again and to get to speak as you're calling me an expert. I'm honored and flattered.
Oh, well, you are. You're a smart dude, and I'd really appreciate the conversations we have. I don't want them to ever end. I hope we can stay connected and keep having them. I know we're all busy and got things on, but yeah, I'd love to keep having them ongoing because there's a lot you give me and certainly the audience as well.
Well, then let's end this one with until next time.
Peace, passion, and purpose.
Same here.
See you soon. Thank you for tuning in and listening to today's conversation.
I really hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you've been able to take something away, something to help you create a more meaningful life, a life with greater freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Guys, if you love the content that I produce here at The Hidden Why, there are a few ways you can support me. Firstly, connect with me. You can do so in a number of different ways. You can connect with me online at thehiddenwhy.com or via social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc. I would love to hear from you guys. I would love to connect with you. If you've got any thoughts, comments, feedback, suggestions, or anything at all that you'd like to ask me, you can reach me at thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com. While you're there, guys, make sure you subscribe to thehiddenwhy.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you can be kept up to date with all the new episodes and happenings here at The Hidden Why. If you love what you heard in this episode, guys, or any of the others, please share the love. Share it with your family, friends, and anyone you think that might get some value. If you haven't already done so, you can also leave me a review on iTunes. Simply head over to iTunes, type in The Hidden Why, click the ratings and reviews button, and leave me a short message, plus a 1 to 5 star rating. It helps me reach more people. Once again, guys, I appreciate the time you've taken out of your day to support my show. Until next time, you know what to do. Breathe more passion into every single moment. Do everything with greater purpose, and in doing so, you will discover your hidden why. This is The Hidden Why Podcast. My name is Liam Undertsey. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon.